Hi, Truth Seekers. It's Kathy Malloy. Welcome to the Friday Encore Malloy Show. No, this isn't a new one, but it's a good one. This is a classic Malloy show from December of 2003, about 2 weeks before Christmas, and it's a gem. It's the entire show, all 3 hours condensed down to two for your listening pleasure. So sit back, relax, and let your mind drift back to the winter of 2003. Enjoy!
Hey, good evening, y'all. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thanks for joining us this Friday holiday. We have 52 a year on this program. The program, by the way, produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. If you'd like to email during the program, Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. Just a little program note. Don't forget, since this is Friday, our holiday show next Tuesday, winter solstice, same day, right? Is that the 22nd? No, it's not. When is the when's December 22nd? Is that Saturday is the 20th. Sunday, Monday's the 22nd. Yeah. So the solstice is the 22nd, but we'll just bump it up a day. The reason I say that, because that's when Chris, my youngest, was born. My youngest. He's 20, he'll be 25. Jesus, I'm old. Anyway, that's next Tuesday. We shall have Holiday Fun and Frivolity, a Christmas gift giveaway. Who sent us that to give away? Billy Shears sent it to us. Okay, we are finally going to give away this item that Billy sent us. And it was his idea to give it away, right? Okay, so we're gonna do that. You'll like it. Also, Kathy's planning a little year in review thingy and a special announcement that is not related to our radio jobs. It's fun watching people trying to figure out what this special announcement is. I've got a handful of emails. People, is it this? Is it that? Got an email from Ricketts, R-I-C-K-E-T-Z-Z, Ricketts. Hey, Ricketts. When I mentioned famous people from Texas, good writers from Texas or people from Texas, Ricketts said, by the way, the next time you need an example of an eloquent Texan, try Barbara Jordan or Walter Cronkite or John Henry Falk or Bill Moyers or the guy that does Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill, Mike Judge. Boy, I apologize, Ricketts. I just wasn't thinking. Isn't Barbara Lee from Texas also? All I could come up with the other night was Jim Hightower and Molly Ivins and, what's her name, the former governor there. See? This is from Collateral 187. Actually, it's from Adam. Hey, Mike, here's something which I think kind of speaks for itself. Funding for the 911 investigation, $3 million. Funding for Whitewater investigation, $70 million. Yeah. Well, Adam, it does. It does speak for itself. There's really nothing I can say about it, nothing anyone can say about it. Let me just repeat it. Funding for the 911 investigation, $3 million. Funding for the Whitewater investigation, $70 million. Have I said yet tonight how much I hate Republicans? Oh, God, they make me just sick. What else? Oh, this is just... I mean, this is so USA. If you're not ashamed to be an American... You're not ashamed to be an American yet. This will do it. This is from the Associated Press business writer, Ann DiNocenzio. Hey, a paisana. The Associated Press business writer, or one of them, not the, but an Associated Press business writer. The headline is, Saddam capture could boost holiday sales. Jesus, God. Here's what it says. With 11 days until Christmas, this was written, back when Saddam, last weekend when Saddam was first, was it last weekend or the weekend before? This past Saturday? Gosh, time just rips by when you're having fun, right? Anne wrote, the Associated Press business writer wrote, with 11 days until Christmas, shoppers crowded the nation's malls and stores over the weekend, their spirits buoyed by news of Saddam Hussein's capture. Several experts said the news of Hussein's capture, revealed early Sunday, couldn't be a better holiday gift for merchants during the season's last critical stretch. Ellen Tully, a spokeswoman at the Washington-based National Retail Federation, said last Sunday, ultimately, in the long run, this is going to put people into better spirits. And we are definitely excited that this has come during the holiday season. This is a piece of news that we were not expecting. Shoppers like Colleen Briggs, Bravely Swirling Snow, Bravely Swirling Snow, while shopping Sunday at New York's Rockefeller Center, said she and her husband were pleased with the news of Saddam's capture, but it probably wouldn't make them open their wallets more. She said, well, I'm glad they got him, but it's not going to make me spend more. She's from Tampa, and she said she'll spend about $2,000, the same amount as last year. God! Ah! Saddam Hussein boosting holiday sales. This is sick. Now, see, y'all thought I couldn't come up with a really disturbing story right off the bat, huh? What the hell is Christmas? Here it is. With just a few days until Christmas, shoppers crowded the nation's malls and stores over the weekend, their spirits buoyed by news of Saddam Hussein's capture. We live in such a sick society, don't we? I was telling Kathy today, I it's not there for me this year. I'm not depressed about, the Christmas season. What I'm talking about is the holiday thingy that usually kicks in for me a couple, 3 weeks before Christmas. We've got our tree up, and we're going to have some friends over tomorrow night, and we've been to a couple of... not really parties, but we have friends who do some painting, and another one does some pottery and stuff like that. So we've gone to a couple of openings. You know, they have a little gallery opening, these little down the alley and behind the shed galleries that are scattered around the Atlanta area. And you go, and your friend's artwork is up on the wall and with little price tags on it, and you have some wine and... usually some crappy-ass pretzels or something, you know. And so we've done that a couple of times. That's kind of fun. You know, it's been chilly here in Atlanta. Just get out, and it's not really a Christmas party, but it feels kind of like it. And we've gone to several of these artist markets. I'm sure they have them in your area, too, you know, where a lot of local artists will get together around Christmas and put their stuff out, and you get your Christmas gifts that way. Because I hate malls, and I hate most retailers because they say things like, Saddam Hussein's capture will boost holiday sales. So, you know, we try to go to we just do it because, not because we're trying to be anything other than appreciative of artist work. I what the hell, right? If you can go someplace and buy a nice piece of a ceramic or clay or something or a painting or beadwork or whatever the hell it is, you know, maybe somebody's worked something in metal, a sculpture, a local artist. God, they make such good gifts, don't they? They're unique, only one of a kind. And if you pick the right little art shows where the starving artists are, the so-called, they usually have a trust fund, too. But, okay, don't send me a bunch of emails, you artists, and say, I don't have a trust fund. But the prices are usually good, right? Yeah. So that's what we've been doing. But it hasn't kicked in. I can't seem to turn the corner. and just let go. I mean, I'm just speaking about me now. I don't know how you feel about this. If you want to share, if you want to talk about it, call us. But every year, I usually manage to turn the corner and get into the Christmas thing, the holiday thing. I don't care, even when Reagan was in office, when Pappy Bush was in office, you know, war, death, and destruction, murder and mayhem, poverty, unspeakable atrocities being committed across the globe. Still, I was able to find a little corner at some point, a couple, 3 weeks before Christmas, duck into that corner and just go, whew, man, give me comfort from the storm. Right? Not this year. Can't do it. Can't do it. So what we decided to do this Christmas, we're not going to go visit family. We're not going to have a huge Thanksgiving dinner. On Christmas Day itself, we're probably going to get a fire going in the fireplace and just sit there and be depressed. No, we're not. No, we're not. We'll probably go to somebody's house for a drink, right? Or six or seven. But I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Kind of not there. And then I see a story like that that says Saddam Hussein's capture will probably boost retail sales. Jesus. Oh. I mean, is there anything that this nation's retailers can't twist and pervert into some way to boost sales, huh? The dead coming back from Iraq, sure to boost sales. Why? Well, people have to get out of the house and go to the funeral. And the memorial service? Why not stop at your local friendly mall on the way home? I don't know, man. What do you say, Robert? Robert in New Orleans. Robert!
Oh, hey, I'm sorry.
Damn, wake up!
Oh, I couldn't quite hear you there for a second.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, that's right.
Well, anyway, I'm just going to have a Saddam.
Hey, yo, now I got to put you on hold.
Oh, okay.
I'll come right back to you. But when I come back and say, Robert, jump right in.
From sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston.
The capture of Saddam Hussein is sure to boost holiday sales.
Right in every American heart.
Yeah!
Time we stand in faith.
A scavenger hunt for terror.
Oh, goody! A scavenger hunt for terror. Hot damn, boy! I love that. I love you, George. Yo, bastard, you're crazier than I am. That's why I love you. Scavenger hunt for terror. Damn! What you got on that list, George? Here, I'll bring back an arm or a leg. That'll make you terror, won't it? Let me get about 8 eyeballs and a dead squirrel.
Colin Powell was sent to find weapons of mass destruction under rose bushes. I know that.
A scavenger hunt for terror. Oh, Jesus. Oh, well. Where were we? Oh, that's right. Robert Nolans.
Oh, I'm so sorry about the hesitation before, but I was in the middle of my required Republican Party meditation mantra where I repeat to myself over and over again, the world is a better place because Saddam Hussein has been captured.
Right.
And I had to stop myself. I had to try to brainwash myself because I was, no, actually, I was not trying to become a Republican. I'm lying. I have no excuse whatsoever for stalling on you.
Robert, can you believe that the business writer for the Associated Press would write an article saying that the capture of Saddam would boost sales? And even if it's true, have we no shame, sir? At long last, have we no shame?
It is absolutely disgusting. Everything that they do in this country, somehow they try to link it, or they link it. Everything these Republicans do, every nasty little thing they do, they try to connect some way in how it's going to be good for the economy.
Yeah.
We're going to slash jobs. It's going to be good for the economy.
Right.
We're going to lay off Americans and hire people for 19 cents an hour. It's going to be good
for the
economy. Everything they do.
We're going to bomb Afghan children. That'll be good for the economy.
Absolutely. It's going to be good for the economy. You know, I'm going to walk. You know, Hemingway said that the world was a fine place and worth the fighting for. I'm just wishing it was a flat planet like the way they used to say, so I could find the edge and jump off of it.
Robert, you need to go over on Bourbon Street now and have yourself a beignet and a hurricane and kick back and relax a little bit, dude.
I can't relax, not so long as George Bush is in office. It would be criminal for me to relax.
I know.
I would deserve to be Patriot Acted, okay, if I relaxed while George Bush was president, because we have to get this guy out of office.
Patriot Acted? Is that a verb now?
That's what I say happens to you anytime that you do something that George Bush doesn't like, because you're bound to be, you know, rounded up or
like
declared
that
an enemy combatant or any of these things
that's
they want
right
to do to you when they want to crush your freedom of speech rights or whatever.
Yeah.
That's Patriot Acted. That's my own verb.
I like that. I'm going to be Patriot Acted. I like that. That has got some class. That is right up there, Robert, with that. That is good language. I'm going to be Patriot Acted.
Every time I buy a Molly Ivins book or a Jim Hightower book or Michael Moore book, I say, you know, don't tell anybody I bought this book to the people I'm buying it from, because I'll be Patriot Acted.
Robert, I'm always glad to hear from you.
I'm waiting for the power to fly now or something. Now that they got Saddam Hussein, everything's going to be rosy and sunshine, and the world's going to be great, and the clouds are going to be made out of marshmallows, and
bluebirds will sing, and New Orleans won't sink beneath the sea, because y'all are already below sea level. Robert, good to hear from you. Take care, my brother.
All righty.
All right. Ooh. Some folks just get very head up about all this. You know what I'm saying? And if you're not getting head up about all this, well, you must be a Republican.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles-Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband, Georgie, because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Carl is calling. This is Carl Childers from Sling Blade again. Hey, Carl, how are you?
Oh, ho, ho, my lord.
Hey, yeah.
Got a special announcement I need to tell you about.
Okay, all right.
Let me just ask you, how does Dean Childers 2004 sound?
Sounds good. Good to me, Carl. I have no problem, Sling Blade, sir.
I've been contacted by several prominent Democratic candidates already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They think that I could be good running mate.
I think you probably would be a good one. Yeah.
Well, you've got a lot of good plans, you know.
You do?
Mm-hmm. You could, you know, the Democrats, you know, we have a saying. We have the Republicans say it, so I suppose the Democrats can say it too, you know.
Yeah.
Fool me once, shame. Fool me, can't get fooled again.
That's it.
Get it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm. I got it. Yeah, so you're thinking about running with Dean?
Well, whoever, he's in the lead right now, but I've been contacted by quite a few, so that I think that I'm going to be the choice, no matter who.
How about you and Lieberman?
No, Mr. Malloy, I said the Democratic candidates contacted me.
Right. Well, he claims to be a Democrat, Senator Lieberman. Excuse me, I didn't mean to take his title, but you wouldn't do that.
I don't know about that.
That might make you nervous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, make you real jumpy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, make you feel like flies were all over it. Yeah.
Well, you know how the fella get hold of the police with that guy, you know.
Yeah, take right. Right. Listen, Carl, a little bit off the subject, how are you coming with your holiday shopping and stuff?
Well, I wasn't doing too well, but then they captured that Saddam. So I got going out this weekend.
Yeah,
and it was good to know.
You bought some things?
Yeah, you know, I think the Democrats, we need to admit something about that, too, you know, about Saddam.
What's that?
Because when we saw him, you know, they said he had arms, and they showed him on the video, and he still had arms, you know.
He did indeed.
But he weren't swinging them when they pulled him out of the hole.
No, he wasn't swinging them. Did you enjoy looking inside Saddam Hussein's mouth over and over and over again?
Well, it was kind of funny because we used to could trust him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's right. We did business with him. We gave him weapons of mass destruction, yeah.
But, you know, that were better days. But now that's the past. We got to look to the future.
Yeah, we do. Are you getting together with family for Christmas, Carl? Mr. Slingblade, sir?
I don't know that I can get out to Nervous Hospital for the weekend or the week of Christmas.
Right.
But I don't know. You know, you could ask me some questions about what the campaign plans are as far as the economy or anything.
Okay, what are your campaign plans about the economy, Mr. Slingblade, or Carl?
Well, you know, when he sent that checks out was a good idea, but I think what we should do, I'm just going to send out credit cards to everybody.
Yeah, that'll get you some votes. What about national defense? Do you have a position on national defense?
You know what I carry around with me.
I do. Never mind. Okay.
For itself, my lord.
Yeah, it does. It certainly does. What about, let's see, the environment? Do you have any take on the environment, what you or would propose as a vice president?
Well, I do think we got to take care of it because, you know, I did live out in it for quite a while.
Yeah, you did. You did.
A lot of people do right now.
Yeah. Let's see. More questions about the ticket with Carl Childers, Slingblade. How about campaign finance? Do you have any plans there to cut back on all the ugliness with candidates raising money?
Well, I don't got no money, so I challenge everybody else to not use money either, like me, because I don't got no money.
Yeah. So your idea of campaign finance reform is just no money.
Don't spend it.
Don't spend it.
You don't got it.
Yeah, that's. I kind of like that. I got. What
you
about?
You know, I was humble beginnings I grow up.
That's right. That's very true. What about education? What would you do? Bush says he's the education president, but I don't see anything.
Well, that's a good thing, there, Mike Malloy, because I think if we could all do a look a lot better if we use Judge Bush as the standard.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody would be raised up automatically.
Automatically, yeah. Gee, what else is there? We've covered the economy, national...
Well, the economy, though, my lord. You know, yesterday, Lou Dobbs on the TV, I was watching him, and he said that the economy is smoking.
Smoking, yeah.
And I think it is because it's nothing but a pile of ashes left.
Yeah.
I think he was right.
Yeah, I see a great... Let me concentrate here for a second, Carl. I see a great campaign poster for you, wielding your sling blade and cutting down the bushes.
That's a good one, my lord.
Do you like that?
We're not going to take it, you know.
Yeah, right.
Once, you know, I would tell them, I would say, good riddance.
yeah, I certainly understand that. Carl Childers, Mr. Slingblade, sir, it's always good to hear from you. I know that you only have so much time. You're loud on the phone, right?
Yeah, but yeah. You know what, Malloy?
What?
My band is pretty good, and we're going to bring him to the White House for their inaugural ball. I'm going to leave you and let you hear some of it, okay?
All right, Carl Childers, all right? Let's hear your band. Let's hear your band.
You like them?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Okay, brother, you can cut it out now.
All right. Thanks, Carl.
Bye, my Lord.
You have a nice evening. Whoa. Carl Childers, Mr. Slingblade himself. I haven't heard from him for a while, Kathy. I guess he got enough of those little blue chits for good behavior. He was able to cash him in for a phone call, huh? Y'all know about the blue chits. But he did go shopping. I like that. Carl doesn't get out a lot, but Capture Saddam even got him out. Bill is calling from Yukon, Oklahoma. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I love the intro.
Yeah.
And your show has been fantastic this week. The Nutcracker, like this year, is like taking on a totally new meaning.
And, yeah, boy, is it.
And Slingblade, I mean... The economy is smoking, and I want some.
Yeah, whatever they're smoking, I want some,
man,
too.
I'll tell you,
yeah.
I got a question. BuzzFlash did their centerpiece a few days ago, and it was a sociological study of who is supporting Bush.
Right.
And what they found was that there are a bunch of white males who are feeling like totally bummed out. Their dogs growl at them, their wives and daughters... like, are getting uppity and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the conclusion of the article basically was that they're supporting Bush, and his position is let them eat war.
Yeah, I read that, a lengthy piece, and then the piece by that sociologist, and then the interview that BuzzFlash conducted with the woman who wrote that. And it was an astonishing article. I'm going to post both. What BuzzFlash, or what the sociologist wrote, and then BuzzFlash's interview with her, we're going to post it at my website tonight so people can take a look at that. But I think the bottom line was, the white male working class that is being totally brutalized by Bush and his policies, and contributing, that segment of the population is, among others, but that segment especially is contributing sons and husbands and now daughters, in some cases moms and wives, to go fight this filthy war for George Bush. And in addition to that, you know, being shot to pieces and blown up and having their jobs taken from them and every single thing that could be done to somebody is being done to these people by the Bush administration, and they insist on supporting him. What is that, Bill?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head over the last month, and it echoes of 1930, the codpiece landing on the warship. These people are like, this is a hockey game. This is a football game. They picked a team. And by God, you know,
but how do you
going to make me a man?
But I don't understand, and the article did not make it clear to me. And I admit I can be a little bit slow sometimes. I still don't understand how those people most taking it in the gut by Bush are his most ardent supporters. That's like beat me, flay me, oh hit me again, oh Christ, I love you, beat me, kick me, oh God, do it again, I love you, oh beat me. What is up with these people, that every single policy Bush has initiated hurts them, and they're his most ardent supporters? I swear to God, I don't get it, Bill.
It's a total, you know, it just reminds me of 1930 in Germany, where these people are beat, they're losing their socioeconomic status and that sort of thing, and here's someone that offers something to them. And they're willing to sacrifice their children, their animals, and, you know, whatever.
I guess that's it.
To promote this single-minded, you know. For example, this whole thing with Saddam Hussein. Who in the world would think that that was really a significant event. Well,
oh, it's,
there
it's,
are a lot of people
yeah.
that do. They think that.
It's nothing. It's nothing. It's as significant as the capture of Manuel Noriega.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It doesn't mean a thing.
I agree. I mean, it's absolutely nothing. But there are these people out there that represented a win. That was a touchdown.
Yeah. Oh well.
I mean, it's sad, but
it is.
But I sort of connected up to your Malay over the holidays, and I'm sort of the same way. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and get all depressed and bummed out. But
no.
That article sort of helped me understand where I was at. That I'm screaming at the, you know, I'm like, do you see the words coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, right.
But
right.
No, they don't. I mean, these folks, I believe, know that Bush is a butcher, he's a liar, he's a thief. But that's not what's important. The fact that their dog is growling at them has gotten them to line up, and I think Karl Rove knows that. And that's why he's hitting these ridiculous cartoon, stupid antics, plastic turkeys and cod pieces flying around on ships. And
It's just, I don't know, it's astonishing, just astonishing.
It is, but I think the article is really important because it helped me connect a couple things that I was just like, in despair, saying, what, why don't people get it? What
mm-hmm.
is the problem here? It's so
mm-hmm.
obvious, but I think if you're in a situation where you're looking for something, the facts don't matter.
Yeah, yeah, that's.
I hope that's not depressing. It's just
interesting. Not anymore. I think all of us, at least the people who cluster around this program for a few minutes or a couple of hours every night, I think this has been the most horrific year. It's gotten to the point where it's descended into the darkest of dark humor. This is like the Nightmare Before Christmas. That movie by who did Nightmare Before Christmas?
I know who you. It's a great movie.
Nightmare Before Christmas, Kathy. Who did that? Tim Burton, that's right.
Burton, right.
It's comedy. It's a scary, scary, scary movie, but it's a comedy.
It's like a dark play. And
that's where we've got to. And I think most people who participate in this program on any level, just listening or lurking or calling or whatever, I think come to that conclusion that this is a Tim Burton hallucination that we're in, and because it's Tim Burton, there's an element of comedic entertainment here, and we just got to focus on that and laugh at the death and the destruction.
Yeah.
And wait a second, did I just say that? Laugh at the death and the destruction? I guess I did.
Well, what can you do? You walk out after the movie and you go, whoa. But you did walk out after the movie was done.
That's
and
true.
That's what keeps me going. I'm, for the first time, going to canvas my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I'm going to volunteer, and I'm just going to listen.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just do not believe that people in this country are that stupid.
I know. I hear you. It's just weird. Bill, thanks for checking in.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. Yeah, we'll post the articles Bill's talking about, unless you've already seen them. You probably have a Buzzflash, but it's just astonishing why this one particular segment of the population that is being so just kicked right in the gut, the working class, so-called working class. White males who are the lower end of the working class. And this is based on two things, income and education. Sorry, not my, you know, I didn't set this up. This is what the demographers, this is how they divide us, what they call the NASCAR dads now. That's that's one of the phrases. And they're not all on the lower end of the economic spectrum. Some of these people make up to 75 grand a year. But so you remember the soccer moms. So these are the NASCAR dads. And if you follow that sport at all, which none of us do apparently, except millions of people, you know that it's almost a purely a white guy's sport. And these are the people having the crap kicked out of them by every single policy that Bush has, but they're his most ardent supporters. Go figure. I'll shoot. I'll get a hand by the road.
You're listening to a classic Malloy show brought to you by the Progressive Voices Network. Don't call in. Mike returns live on Monday.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Five before the hour. Hey, this is a pretty good idea, Kathy. Just got an email from Jack in Tampa. Mike, if they give you a chance to say so long, which they may or may not do before they pull the plug on your network, would you consider playing Leonard Cohen's spoken word poem, Democracy is Coming to the USA, just before you sign off? We play little excerpts from that quite a bit, don't we? I know what you're going through with the potential loss of your job this time of year. I was just told today that if I don't make an impossible quota by January 31st, then I am history. And my present job. This after 12 years with the company, Jack writes. I will spare you the details. Just wanted you to know I know what you must be feeling. Best wishes, Jack in Tampa. Yeah. Well, Jack, you and I are part of 3 million people who have had this feeling since George Bush illegally effected a coup. Well, that's kind of contradiction in terms. You can't legally do a coup against the people of the United States. Just like Nixon, though, George Bush will have his. There is a karmic wave building someplace out near Arcturus, or Sirius, or someplace out there. There is a karmic wave building, a cosmic karmic wave, that when it breaks across planet Earth in order to bring back into balance what George W. Bush has wrought, it's going to be astonishing, and it's going to be targeted right for him. Can we remember this? The last night on the air, we'll do Democracy. That'd be a good one to close out with. We've done this too many times, Kathy. Nick is calling from Warsaw, Ohio. Hey, Nick.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Great. I was going to talk to you about some sort of therapy for yourself there to make you feel better, but you want to hear another sophomoric Christmas carol?
Hey, we're into sophomoric Christmas carols on this program. Yes, I would.
Okay.
All right.
Here's the little drummer boy.
All right.
Wait. What?
Here we have a break.
Oh, okay.
I'll put you on hold.
I'm ready.
I don't want to interfere at all with your music. So let me put you on hold. We'll come back right after the break. We'll hear Nick's Christmas Carol, Little Drummer Boy, and your calls. And we have one open line here if you want to join in, 800-825-5937.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time.
Somewhere, somewhere, somewhere.
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. We're just about to hear a new Christmas carol from Nick. Now, Nick is one that wrote, Limbaugh the White Man, to the tune of Frosty the Snowman. And we put the lyrics up in our gallery at MikeMalloy.com. You can check it out there if you want. You sing along if you like. If you go caroling in your neighborhood or your apartment complex or your small town, you might want to print off the lyrics and go sing Limbaugh the White Man. So we have had previous experience with Nick the songwriter, so I'm most anxious to hear his version of, what is it, Nick, the Little Drummer Boy?
Yeah, I got the Little Drummer Boy I'm going to inflict on you tonight.
Okay, we are ready.
Are you ready? Okay.
I wish we had an orchestra to give you some backup music.
I wish I could play the guitar or sing.
Yeah, well,
we're stuck.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
Rami told me Iraq we must bomb, and I believed him because I was so dumb. Though Saddam had dick to do with 9/11. We have to find his weapons of mass destruction, his neurotoxins, his uranium. Oops, there ain't none. Rami spun some crap and found a reason. He said we bombed Iraq to give him freedom, along with a big contract to Halliburton to rebuild what we wrecked with our treasury funds and the lives of our sons, because it now all belongs to the corporations. We couldn't find those weapons, not even one. But we stumbled into a hole, and there was Saddam. He is the boogeyman we can blame it all on. And we will just forget he was one of our pawns. We gave him the guns, and we shoveled him funds to oppress his nation. So now our president is smirking with pride. He'll find those terrorists in the holes where they hide. He's climbing in the polls, but we ain't satisfied. 'Cause we've seen him on the job with his razor-sharp mind. And try as he might, there's one hole he can't find. It's in his behind.
Oh,
and that's it.
Oh, my God. You ought to go to work with the Washington Steps or get on the Daily Show. This is pretty. This is great stuff. I swear to God. What is this you're playing?
What is that playing?
What is this, Teddy? Huh? That's the drummer boy.
I pray my wish.
Okay. I like Nick's version better. Oh my God. Oh, that's awful. That's awful. Seriously, you're great. You should be. You ought to call John Stewart and say you got to get this dude on the Daily Show, and let you sing these songs. They would give you a whole orchestra.
Oh, I don't know about that. This is just something I do to stay sane, because if I didn't try and laugh at this stuff.
I know.
I work with kids. I can't afford to get too negative.
That's true. And that's what I was talking to a couple of callers before you. This is like a Tim Burton movie. Maybe we just got to find the humor here, although it's dark and bleak and horrific and terrible. But what are we going to do? I mean,
well, yeah, because you start yelling at people, and, you know, I mean, you get so down that with the stuff that's going on, you got to do something to put it in perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was great. That was great, Nick. If you can send me the lyrics, we'll post that one at MikeMalloy.com in the gallery also, so people can go out and sing. They'll have two Christmas carols now.
Great.
So if you can email it to me, the best place to email it, by the way, send it to MikeDMalloy@AOL.com.
Okay.
Instead of Earthlink. AOL is what I use at home, and I've got that on broadband, and it goes, you know, I get it a lot quicker, so.
Great.
Mike DiMalloy at AOL. Thank you, Nick.
Okay.
All right, sir. And if I don't talk to you between, Merry Christmas.
You and Kathy, too.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. God, we've got a talented audience. Does anybody call the Baby Jesus Show, Sean Hannity, or the Pigman, Rush Limbaugh, and come up with creative, incredible songs like that, or Sling Blade, or what's his name from New Orleans, Robert, or Brother Sky. Jeez. Goes on and on, doesn't it? All right, y'all are in too good of a mood. Let me quote something. But, you know, we keep saying how does the middle class in its three levels, upper middle class, middle class, lower middle class, and then the working class, and all these classes, right, that we have in America. But how do people who are most taken in the chin, and those are manufacturer workers, the men and women workers who should be union people but are not, how are these people just having the hell kicked out of them by Bush and still supporting him? Well, there may be an answer. Adolf Hitler wrote this in Mein Kampf, My Struggle. He wrote this when he was in prison after the beer hall putsch. I can't say that word. P-U-T-S-C. Putsch. Whatever. Here's what he wrote. The receptivity of the great masses is very limited. Their intelligence is small. And their power of forgetting is enormous. Their power of forgetting is enormous. In consequence of these facts, all effective propaganda must be limited to a very few points and must harp on these in slogans until the last member of the public understands. Propaganda must be aimed at the emotions and only to a very limited degree to the so-called intellect. The art of propaganda lies in understanding the emotional ideas of the great masses and finding, through a psychologically correct form, the way to the attention and thence to the heart of the broad masses. Propaganda does not have multiple shadows. It has a positive and a negative. Love or hate, right or wrong, truth or lie. Never half this way and half that way. But the most brilliant propagandist technique will yield no success unless one fundamental principle is borne in mind constantly and with unflagging attention. It must confine itself to a few points and repeat them over and over and over. The purpose of propaganda is not to provide interesting distraction for blasé young gentlemen, but to convince the masses. The masses are slow moving, and they always require a certain time before they are ready even to notice a thing. And only after the simplest ideas are repeated thousands of times will the masses finally remember them. Now, when did he write Mein Kampf? That was in the 20s, right? This stuff is 80 some years old. This stuff was written about the time Strom Thurmond was raping his family's Negro maid over in South Carolina. So just about the time Strom was committing rape against a 16-year-old girl, Adolf Hitler was writing what he just wrote, what I just quoted for you. When I read that, does that not remind you of Karl Rove and George Bush and what's his name, Simple Scotty McClellan, and before him, Ari Fleischer, the repetition over and over and over and over and over. Jimmy Breslin had a column in New York Newsday the other day. He got on a tour bus with a bunch of people who were in New York, you know, taking tours, just different groups. And he struck up random conversations with people as the tour bus went near the site of the bombing of the World Trade Centers. And he says, you know, quoting people like that is not a device I like to use as a columnist. And he doesn't. If you read Breslin, Breslin's a storyteller. He puts it in his own words. He's like Studs Terkel. But in this instance, he said, I've got to make an exception, because what I kept hearing over and over and over again were the people saying, yeah, Saddam Hussein did this to us. Yeah, I'm glad they caught Saddam Hussein because he came over. He sent the people over here to bomb us. Jesus God, that's where we are. That's where we are. That's how effective a job Karl Rove and Dick Cheney and George Bush and Condoleezza Rice and Donald Rumsfeld and the rest of these terrible, terrible people have done on us. Well, not you and me, but on the majority of Americans. Bush is, what his one poll has his popularity ratings up around 60% again. And he gets his highest marks in telling the truth and his handling of international affairs. Yeah. 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 Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't know what to say about that. But so we quote Adolf Hitler writing Mein Kampf. Oh, well. Do-do-do-do-do. Merry Christmas. Have you got any more Christmas bumper music in there? Okay, good. Angie is calling from Portland, Oregon. Hey, Angie.
Hey, what's up? Okay, this is what I want to say. I'm going to say it real quick.
Okay.
First of all, you got to quit listening to that lying stuff about the polls. I was watching C-SPAN the other day, the call-in show.
Yeah, yeah.
And this Republican crazy woman called in talking about how they're not fair because they always let the Democrats get in or whatever.
Yeah.
And he told her, he said, hey, we're fair. If we were to let it go in like it should go, the callers, they call, he said, the Democrats call in, people that don't like Bush call in 9-1.
Ow!
Okay?
Right.
So, you know, that poll stuff, it's the same thing. It's the same old propaganda. The more they can tell you that, oh, well, I might as well go along because everybody else likes them. You know, they're lying.
Yeah, well,
okay, two things. I'm going to say real quick because I know you got to go.
That's all right. I can always hold you over.
First of all, I work for Broome Land Management.
Uh-huh.
And I know government jobs, scary. I'm a federal employee.
Right.
But we have contractors. You know, they're, like, really outnumbering us now.
Hey, my sister's a federal employee. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
All
guess
right.
Who just bought the contractors?
Who did?
For BLM.
Who did?
Lockheed Martin.
Ow!
Okay. That was Monday. Okay, found that out. And they and all the contractors have to write resumes. They have their job, they sit for a year, but they have to write resumes.
Yeah.
Okay. Second blow. Okay.
Hey, can you hold on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got to put you on hold. I'll come back. We got to take this break. We'll be right back.
You can brighten up their day, keep the facts out of their way. Just simplify the complex, repeat, repeat.
Truth Seekers, repeat. This is an encore classic Mike Malloy show from December 2003. Don't call in. Mike returns live on Monday at 9 p.m. in the East, 6 p.m. in the West, only on the Progressive Voices Network.
24 past the hour. We're talking to Angie in Portland, Oregon, and you were going to phase two, I think. Angie.
Yeah, phase two.
Okay, go ahead.
So I go down to my car, okay,
yeah.
Next day.
Yeah.
And I'm getting in the car, and I see this Diebold truck or whatever.
Yeah?
And I'm like, just a minute. I know that name. So the guy gets out the car, and I say, hey. I said, isn't your company like a computer company or something like that? And he goes, yeah. I go, don't you guys make a voting machine?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah?
Yeah.
And he, like, really smirked back, you know, like, oh, God, don't let her yell at me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, okay, so, like, what are you going into BLM and Forestry Service for?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, okay, corruption keeps going on. But the reason I called in is that I really want you guys to stay encouraged, and I decided to really get active. I'm going to contact Guerrilla News. They've got this really good video about unanswered questions on 9/11.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to take it down to Portland Cable Access, which we've been doing a show for out of there for years. And I'm going to submit single plays every day.
Do it. Do it.
For that to play. Because I think the bottom line is if we can get people to know it, because people don't know
mm-hmm.
what's going on. All we have to do is get the truth out there. Enough suspicion out there about who's really behind 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It blows all their terrorist stuff to, you know,
yeah,
whatever. We just got to get out of there because people don't know.
You go, girl.
You know? And so that's all I wanted to call for. Say, stay encouraged. And if I come in some money, even if I don't come in some money, I'm going to give because basically this is like the only voice I have
yeah.
that's a reason to listen to is on the Internet.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know, and it's crazy. And to think that you guys are gone, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Well, we'll wind
up. We'll
wind up someplace. I've gotten a lot of emails now of people going, oh, my God, what are we going to do? I don't know where we're going to wind up. I will keep folks informed at my website, MikeMalloy.com.
When we listen on the Internet, is that ratings? Do they know? I mean, how do they know that we're listening, that your show is sort of popular or something?
There are ways. It depends. Like Shelby LePre, who runs RadioPower.org, they keep track. White Rose Society keeps track. IEAmericaRadio.com keeps track. Sirius Satellite Radio that carries us, they don't keep track. All we know is that they have 150,000 subscribers. And that's it. I don't know if that's a lot or a little. I don't know what XM Satellite Radio has.
Well, I'm going to just say this, and I'm going to get off your line. If I can challenge everybody out there to just go and write IEAmerica.com for the truth, you know, about democracy, print it up 100 copies and stick it all around your town or something to promote. If people would just, you know, get it out that there is somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because people are sitting around going, I don't understand what's going on.
Well,
things aren't getting better for me. Why?
I hope you do the cable thing in Portland too.
I'm definitely going to do that.
Keep the pressure on Angie.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, keep the pressure on. Where are we? Here we are. Armand is calling from Bradenton, Florida. Hey, Armand.
Hi, I have a letter from Devil to W.
From the devil to W?
Yes.
Okay. The devil, like in Satan?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Hold on a second, because we're coming up on a break. I'll put you on hold, and we'll come back right after this break, and we'll hear this letter from the devil to George W. Bush. Stay with us.
Some of my friends sit around every evening, and they worry about the times ahead. But everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. You either shut up or get cut out. They don't want to hear about it. It's only inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is the sound salvation. Radio is the vision of the nation. Say you better listen. Said they don't give you any choice, 'cause they think that it's Jesus. So you had better do as you were told. You better listen to the radio.
You're listening to an encore Mike Malloy show on the Progressive Voices Network. Don't call in. Mike returns live on Monday.
Everybody happy now? We're all cozy. Everybody got their jammies. No, wait a minute. That's the intro to Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Never mind. Back to Armand in Bradenton, Florida, who's been holding on. All right, Armand. Satan's holiday letter to Bush. Hello?
Season's greetings from the devil to W. Thank you for the two wars you started in the name of peace and freedom that were really for the benefit of your oil and military complex masters. Thank you for the free trade lie that's really dismantling the middle class of America and creating a contemporary feudal class republic run by unelected kings and queens. Thank you for not raising the minimum wage for your slave workers at the bottom of your economy. Thank you for trade deficits and bankrupting the national budget. Lord knows those yet unborn will be forever beholden to you. Thank you for selling out your soul for the interest of the super rich, who will never be satisfied, no matter what or who they harm. Thank you for the media prostitutes that say what they're told and call it news, and all the sex and sports that's used as a diversion so people won't think too much about your real actions and their true effect. And thank you for all your lies and mayhem. hell really does exist because of creatures like you. Amen.
And it's signed Satan?
Yes.
Oh, God. That's pretty uncheerful there, Armand, but I certainly don't disagree with anything you say. I would also think that Satan would help or be pleased with all the souls who have been condemned to hell by Bush and the people who have been slaughtered. And in Bush's mind, since they are not Christians, of course, they go immediately to hell. All these Muslims that belong to these fake religions and all the agnostics and atheists and Wiccans and Celtics and partridges in a pear tree, they all go straight to hell. So Satan would probably appreciate that. That was pretty grim. Thank you, Armand. I appreciate the letter from Satan to George Bush. Armand. Hello? When Satan reached up out of the ground and grabbed Armand's ankle, I guess. Thank you, Armand. I appreciate it. Arthur just sent us in. Mike, this is about the thing from Mein Kampf that we read about propaganda a second ago, or I read. Mike, I don't doubt that the passage you read about propaganda is very accurate, but I think there's another reason why so many middle-class folks are so easily suckered into the lies of the Bush administration. They're tired. I know I run the risk of sounding like the endlessly sympathetic liberal and ignoring the likely intellectual laziness, but I think Americans are overworked and at the end of the day don't want to pay attention to the little details. They don't want to pick apart the minutiae of political rhetoric. They want to shut down. They want to sit back and watch race cars or movies on television. That's why I think the group that is taking the brunt of Bush's policies is also the group that supports him. I suspect that they just don't know. Yeah, I suspect that you're probably close to the truth there, Arthur. Just tired. Just worn out. You know, who has the energy, especially people who had what at one time were considered to be decent middle-class or working-class jobs, you know, 40, 50 grand a year, and they're downsized, they're outsourced to the manufacturing plant or the IT facility moves to India or Indonesia or China or Mexico or wherever the hell they move, and you go through 15, 16 months of unemployment, then wind up with a nice $30,000 a year job, and your spouse has to find a job, and you're tired. Yeah, I hear you. Our Brookings Bureau Chief is checking in here, Joe, from Brookings, Oregon. Hey, Joe.
Hey, I'm on?
Yeah. Yes, you are on.
Okay, I was used to a little beep or something. Yeah, you know, you might be interested in a little interview Ralph Nader did with the Wall Street Journal. Basically, coming up just short of endorsing Howard Dean, talking about he likes Howard Dean's anger, Howard Dean's energy, and a lot of good things to say about Howard Dean. Of course, he ain't going to come out and endorse Howard Dean because he's already endorsed Dennis Kucinich.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't care what the Bush leaguers and the Republican Party say, they don't want Howard Dean to be the nominee. I say they're scared to death of the man. Because he could bring a lot of people together who haven't been on the same page for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mom, for instance, she voted for Clinton twice, voted for Nader the last time around, and she's a really big Howard Dean supporter this time around. So I don't care about what all the nonsense you hear on the talking blowhard shows or the fascist news channel, or any of this other crap, and all this stuff. Saddam Hussein been captured. Bush walks on water, and he's no longer a dry drunk. He's a great guy. You know, it is a bunch of BS. I'm telling you, these guys are scared, and it don't take that much to break their Ponzi scheme apart and just put it in the little pieces.
Well, I hope you're right. The only thing that worries me, of course, is what worries most thinking Americans, and that is regardless of who the Democratic nominee is, and if it is Howard Dean, if it is Kucinich, no matter who it is, if it looks like that person is tapping into the rage that Democrats feel, in other words, the core voters of the Democratic Party, you know, that's the way the Republicans, we all know this by now, that's the way the Republicans have been able to win congressional elections. They did not win the presidential election, but the way they've been able to win is to tap into their core voters and then just drag the rest of the Republicans along. There hasn't been a moderate Republican elected in these local offices in what, 12, 14 years. The Democrats, if the Democrats do the same thing, so to speak, tap into, as Howard Dean is, as Dennis Kucinich has, and they're the only two, tap into the utter, absolute contempt that we Democrats in the core of the party feel for this pig in the White House and all of his piglets. Tap into that. We support that candidate with our anger and our money and our feet and our internet access. We will drag the rest of the Democratic Party with us. What are they going to do? Stay home? What are they going to do? Vote for too stupid to be president? No, they're going to come along. So I do believe this. I do believe that a Howard Dean and Dennis Kucinich can, if they haven't already, energize the core of the Democratic Party, the people who believe in Democratic Party principles as laid out there by going all the way back to Roosevelt. And not that Howard Dean is necessarily a Roosevelt Democrat, but I'm just saying if any candidate is able to tap into that rage and contempt and disgust that we feel and turn it in to people going to the polls. Then
you remember FDR started out as a centrist himself.
Right, absolutely.
And then he went to the left.
Right, and he was a very rich man. He was from that class of Americans. In that period of time, he was a family was in the top 1 or 2% in terms of income and family and money and class and so on and so forth. Then he became a champion of the working class in this country. So I agree with you, and I think the Republicans will be terrified of the Howard Dean candidacy, just absolutely terrified.
Is there one more thing about that phenomenon I can tell you about?
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm basically like the chairman, founder, and creator of the Curry County Green Party, very big, influential political organization. Got about like a handful of people.
Right.
And I've been putting flyers around, putting them up around all over the place, saying Kucinich and Howard Dean supporters more than welcome to join the Green Party. Just let everyone know that I'm inclusive. And the next set of flyers I'm going to put up, Joe Lieberman and John Kerry supporters can all go to hell.
Okay, Joe, thank you. Click, there he goes. Straight to hell. Do not pass go. All right, now when you put those posters up, Joe, inviting Kucinich supporters and Dean supporters to become members of the Green Party, that's fine. Just instruct them to vote for either Kucinich or Dean next November. Right? You know what I've said about the Green Party? Bless their hearts. Keep slugging. Keep pushing, guys and girls. Win a few local elections. You didn't even come close with the mayor's office in San Francisco. Not what I would consider close. But keep doing it. Keep doing it. Green Party, keep doing it. Look what the European Greens have done. Jesus, they're all the way up into cabinet positions. And they started out by winning those town councils and the equivalent of the water commissioner or the... And just work up assemblymen, assemblywomen. And how many countries now have Greens, if not at the cabinet level, close enough? I'm all for the Green Party. But I'm primarily for the Democratic Party now. It has to be that way now. Has to be. Unless... If God really is a trickster, and Joe Lieberman winds up with the nomination or somebody of his ilk, then all bets are off. Preston is calling from Denver. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thank you.
Sure. For what?
For your efforts.
Oh, okay. Thank you for yours.
Yeah, and to the efforts at everybody at IE America. It's really going to be missed, but I look forward to some new manifestation.
Yeah, we'll land someplace. We're like cats. We land on our feet.
Great.
Yeah.
And I think you have a lot of potential support from your listeners. Maybe at some point you could consider listener membership, like a lot of the community radio stations.
You know, I'm just not comfortable with that. I really am not. I honestly believe that commercial radio in this country has got to provide a place for someone like me and people like me.
Yeah.
And I'm just not going to be ghettoized. I won't do it. And I will not ask people to get involved in a subscriber kind of radio. Not that that's not a good thing. I've got a very good friend who does that, Bart Kopp, and I respect him for it.
Mm-hmm.
But after 18 years in this business, like I have had, of just busting my ass to do this job and to do it as well as we do it, I'm not going to be ghettoized. Somebody's going to put this program on the air, and it's going to be a network or it's going to be a big station, and that's just the way I feel.
And on the commercial side of things, I'm looking forward to the day when companies like Whole Foods and Wild Oats start to support.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice for companies like that to put their money where their mouths are and support a programming, a so-called liberal or progressive programming, wherever it appears. I don't care where it appears, but that's what it takes to support. That's right.
And as a political strategy, it would be interesting to see what would happen if, I just discovered you all a few months ago, and I'm pretty intimate with a lot of the left-wing material, and I had never heard of you all. And if in the future, great organizations like Z Magazine and FAIR and Democracy Now!, if they were to do more, cross-promotion and to help out projects like this, I mean, your audience would...
Yeah, that's what the right wing. Yeah, that's what the right wing has done, and I do fault the owners of this network for not understanding that from the get-go when they bought this network 5 years ago. They should have understood, and I'm talking about the UAW, they should have understood this is going to have to be cross-promoted. It's going to have to be handled using the model that the right wing has established in this country, and that's how you do it. That's how you get successful.
Yeah.
And I fault the UAW for not doing that. Now, having said that, they're not. These are not broadcasters. The UAW doesn't know from broadcasting. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason that this thing has been such an abject failure.
Yeah.
The IE America Radio Network, in terms of really doing something with UAW behind it, and that's the reason. And it's just a shame. But anybody who does want to promote progressive or liberal talk is going to have to do what you're saying. Now let me put you on hold, Preston. I know you have more to say. And I jumped all over your nickel there, or your dime. Or how much is a pay for 50 cents. Oh, who knows? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
There's no one more red, white, and blue. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal.
Truth Seekers, this is an encore classic Mike Malloy show from December 2003. Don't call in. Mike returns live on Monday at 9 p.m. in the East, 6 p.m. in the West, only on the Progressive Voices Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. And we are talking with Preston, who has called in from Denver, about NASCAR dads, I think.
Yeah, about a few things. I kind of got sidetracked. Enjoying the music your producer is playing.
She's good, isn't she?
Yes, indeed.
She does great work with the music. Wow.
But you were mentioning UAW and some of their failures in promoting the program.
Right.
I think also, and this is... regarding politicians and the right-wing media and the corporate media and all that stuff, I mean, there is a lot being done to us that's very deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
But there is so much that we can do ourselves and just kind of communicating amongst each other and building those networks and utilizing letters to editor section. And people have been using the commercial AM stations to promote things like IE America, and I noticed Tom Hartman was on the Michael Medved show, and I'm sure his appearance there brought a lot of people from that audience over mm-hmm. to IE America.
Mm-hmm.
And that karmic wave that you were talking about developing in the Sirius constellation, I think, is appearing in many ways over the airwaves and, you know, in the papers, even the big commercial newspapers like the Denver Post that I read every day. Some of the writers are talking about the same issues you all are talking about. So there is an opening going on. And I think more than Dean, the neoconservatives very much fear this movement that is going on that mm-hmm. really hasn't even recognized itself as a movement yet, that people like Paul Ray have written about the cultural creatives, people who are involved in cooperative bookstores, are in co-housing, are the Green Party, and things like that. It numbers in like, well, he estimates 50 million people. And, you know, if that political force gets united,
right,
there will be IE America stations, you know, all over the place on 650 stations like Limbaugh is now.
Well, the equivalent thereof, because IE America ceases to exist no later than February 27th. So, but I hear what you're saying, and you make absolute sense.
Yeah, I think Angie made a lot of great suggestions as well.
So yeah, yeah.
Thank you all for the discussion.
All right, thank you, Preston. I hope we hear from you again. Take care, sir.
Sure thing.
All right. About time for a break, Catherine. I think it is. We will be back for the final hour of the program. Uncle Mike's Story Corner coming up here next hour. We're going to get to that, so stick around. Get your pajamas on, get a cup of hot cocoa with some those little marshmallows on top, kick back, and Uncle Mike will tell you a nice, cuddly bedtime story of death and destruction, but, you know, what the hell.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, welcome back. 7 past the hour. We, don't forget, next Tuesday night is our Christmas program, and then we will be off the rest of that week, Christmas week. And almost all of the week of New Year's, we'll be back Friday, the day after New Year's. That's my last week of paid vacation from this company. So we're taking it. This is from a worried listener, Robert. Mike, have they got you on a sedative tonight? Have the Bush minions drugged you? Are you really Mike Malloy? Are you a body double? I'm getting suspicious because you have yet to tell us tonight how much you hate these people! A worried listener. Well, actually, Robert, I think I did say it early on, at the very beginning of the program. It didn't take long tonight. I think I said it. If I didn't, well, I just did. A couple of emails here. Mike, I have been doing what I can to educate my 80-something parents. This is from Jeff in Grapeville, PA. I've been doing what I can to educate my 80-something parents as to my political awakening. I felt I really failed my duty last night when Letterman's top 10, or on one of the jokes of his monologue, referred to Dennis Kucinich. I was heartbroken when my mother asked me who Kucinich was. I was telling her that Kucinich's platform really represented the best interests of those with democratic values. Since my mother is more socially active than I, through church groups, senior activity groups, and other activities, she has a much broader influence than I do. I'm sitting here tonight writing checks to pay the bills before the holidays. Besides the regular bills, there are a few other checks I have to write. At least $15 to Nancy Skinner, which is not my first contribution to her. $100 to Dennis Kucinich. $50 to Charlie Crystal, Pennsylvania Senate race. My dad still tells me I'm crazy for sending money to politicians, but I realize the few dollars I send to an honorable candidate can do wonders. I hope you and Kathy and all the people at IE can keep up the fight. And you have my heartfelt thanks for the information you have provided to this point, Jeff and Grapeville. Well, thank you, Jeff. I respect your political activism. And I know what you mean. My mother is in her 80s. And she lives in Ohio, in Toledo. And we talk every day. And sometimes it's just idle chatter. And other times, you know, sometimes about the, you know, her great-grandchildren, which are my grandkids, and her grandchildren, which are my kids, and you know, stuff like that, and other members of the family. But sometimes we will talk about George Bush and what's going on. And my mother was never really politically active. She had to work too much. You know, my mother was a waitress for like 35 years and then finally got a job as an intake worker with the Department of Welfare for the city of Toledo, or was it the Fulton County or the state of Ohio? I don't remember. And she worked there from her early 60s until her mid-70s and then had to retire. So Sylvia was never all that active politically, but her heart was always and still is in the right place. She is a blue-collar Democrat, and that's how she raised me and my brothers and sister. Although my one brother is now dead, and my other brother has become a raving Republican. So I guess he's dead, too, in a manner of speaking. Oh, I don't mean that, but you know what I mean. From Diana in Florida about why the people who are most being slaughtered by George Bush support him the most ardently. Diana writes, Mike, I think a main reason blue-collar and rural white males support Bush is racism, sexism, nationalism, and there is no word religionism. These prejudices override all other considerations. They view the Democratic Party, these men, as the party of women, non-whites, gays, immigrants, secular humanists, and traitors. Because the Democrats respect other cultures, other religions, and other nations. These are insecure people who feel threatened by all that is unfamiliar, and much seems unfamiliar to them because they are provincial and ignorant. The Republicans ease their fears by reassuring them that we can return to a place where white American males are in control and Christian values rule absolutely. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. It's sad but true. And just a quickie here from R.B. Ham. If you haven't been to his website, he's been off the internet for a while. He's back. R.B. Ham, just like what you eat on Easter. RBham.com. If you haven't been there, for God's sake, go, okay? He writes, Mike, how about this? Lee Hamilton, the infamous cover-up artist who saved George Bush the First's ass during the Iran-Contra scandal, said last year that the 911 commission was not out for heads on pikes. Rather, Hamilton said that the purpose of the commission was to prevent another disaster like this. Now, as you know, Lee Hamilton is he's the co-chair, right, of the 911 commission. RB writes, huh? The Democrat was already saying that there would be no accountability for intel lapses before the freaking investigation ever began. Now the Republican, Thomas Keene, has been forced to back down from his recent statement that 911 could have and should have been prevented. Obviously, he has heard his master's orders. Sure, they wanted him to talk tough, but there are to be no fall guys. You see, there's a lot of guilt to go around, and if one goes down, they may all go down. After all, I'm sure that Colin Powell is a smart enough guy to have some documented insurance policies stashed along the way. Yeah, I'm sure he is, too. No, sir, RB writes, the cover-up is so transparent that it would take a free press to blow it apart. The neocons are quite sure that a free press is a thing of the past. It's up to us to prove them wrong. Heads on pikes. It's the only way. R.B. Ham. Okay, Check out his website. rbham.com. Sue is calling from Princeton, New Jersey. Hey, Sue.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Gosh, that was interesting. You know, everyone has been calling about the about the way these working people are getting screwed by
Bush and supporting
gangster
him.
In chief,
right?
Turkey and thief. But what I think, what I have been learning a lot about is how they're using the media to literally do things with our brains. Tom was talking about it the other day. And I think that the unions should be chipping in with this union that owns IE America. Has anyone thought of that? I mean, is it that hopeless?
Yeah, it is that hopeless.
That's a shame.
No, that would have been a good idea a couple of years ago if the AFL-CIO, the umbrella organization of unions in this country, if they would have made an effort, if the Teamsters would have made an effort, if the IBEW would have made an effort, but they don't. There's a lot about the union movement right now that really angers me. It is not what it was 20, 30, 40, 80, 100 years ago. The union movement, to a large degree, has become nothing but another entrenched bureaucracy. It's like the Soviet Politburo. Sad to say, the union activism that you are probably familiar with, I certainly am from in the past, in my own childhood, and my own youth. But historically, the activism of the unions, it's gone. It's just absolutely gone. It's cover your ass now. And it's just, it's what corporate America does. It's what the corporatized unions do. And it's a shame. But that's where it is. That's where it is. I'm not saying that unions do bad. They do good. Unions are about the only thing that keeps 13% of the working people in this country in decent jobs. It's a shame that 90% of the workers in this country are not unionized, or 100%. Having said that, I cannot believe that the union movement in this country had a chance with this network to really get the word out, and they did not come to the aid of the UAW or to throw some money. And I'm not talking about $50-$60 a month. I'm talking about the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, that it would have taken to make this network as powerful as it could have been. So, yeah, I have to tell you, I am very angry at various union organizations around this country now, because they did nothing to support what Peter Werbe was doing, what I've been doing, what Tom Hartman has been doing, what all the people who have really taken a risk and busted our asses for this network, and the people in management, all the way up to our general manager, who really tried, who tried so hard to make this happen without the support of organized labor in this country. And it's a real shame. And I have no problem with saying that. I have no problem with saying that. If that pisses off somebody in the union movement, too bad. It's the truth. And anytime the truth pisses somebody off, I say, tough, tough.
Well, I have other ideas. I think one of the ideas that I have, I'm just about to go pick up my 13-year-old at a movie. And, these kids have so much at stake. And I've actually come up with an idea. I'm just floating it around with Tom's webpage, with some of the people at his radio show, and other people I know in my network here. I've been at Peace Education for about 10 years. And I worked with littler kids earlier, but I think we need to tap into the teams. And I think I'm going to call it something like Civic Quest, learning from the past, acting for the future. Give them concrete projects, you know, let them hang out, because they really need to hang out. I think,
right.
You know, they're watching all this television. They're going to movies. They're just consuming. They've been trained to consumed since they were kids.
That's true.
By these extremely devious people that market to our kids. I mean,
sure.
They've been doing it since my daughter was born. She's almost 16.
Right, right.
I mean, they've been doing it for longer, but I really think we have a lot of energy. We just have to direct it. And one of my ideas, too, is getting them to produce local access TV.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get them to do it, then other people are going to watch it because it's a community
right.
effort that the kids are doing.
I think
if we get our kids to think, get adults to start thinking about their
mm-hmm.
future,
mm-hmm.
It could work. I don't know.
I don't know what else could work.
It could indeed.
It could indeed. Sue, thanks for checking in.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. Drive safe when you pick up the kids.
Happy holiday.
Okay, will do. Will do. Quick break here. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an Encore Molloy show from the Wayback Machine. Don't call in. Mike returns live on Monday.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Molloy.
I thought we were doing Christmas Carol bumper music. No, Kathy's not in the spirit either. 24 past the hour, Pat is calling from Portland, Oregon. Hey, Pat.
Hi, Mike. I have an idea that I'd like to run past you. I've never heard this brought up before.
Okay.
I would like to play detective for a moment, and the time frame is... The image I have in my mind in trying to determine just how guilty or not guilty Bush is in having a hand in having to do with the attack on the World Trade Center or not,
mm-hmm.
I have an image in my mind that ran on the TV over and over again where I assume a Secret Service man leans over and tells Bush that we've been attacked while he's reading to little kindergarten children
mm-hmm.
in the school classroom.
Right.
I've taken that picture in my mind and, like a snapshot, froze it right there. And all this time, I've looked at that image in my mind 1,000 times, and I've asked myself, what is wrong with this picture? What is it about this picture that bothers me?
Mm-hmm.
And just now I'm getting a chance to sit down and call and talk to you about it, and I want to get your opinion. And that is, the problem with the picture is that there is a picture. And what I mean by that is, historically, typically, isn't it usually the first lady that would be sitting in front of a kindergarten class and reading?
Sure.
So, therefore... What we've learned about Bush and his administration, every photo opportunity that he has, he sticks his face in the media for everyone to see, and that there is a picture of him sitting there, all Christian-like and reading to our beautiful little kindergarten children. Look, nothing up my sleeve. I have nothing to do with this. Look at how kindly and gentle I am sitting here reading to our little kindergartners. I couldn't have had nothing to do with all this.
Right.
And that's what's wrong with the picture.
Well, I think
there is one.
I think you're onto the truth there, Pat. I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but I have suspected these thugs since probably 72 hours after the attack on this country.
Well, that was my first inclination. I snapped that picture in my mind, and it bothers me so bad that because Laura Bush has done absolutely nothing this entire stretch. She has been completely, totally out of the picture as far as I've ever known for her to do anything. And it would be Laura Bush that should be sitting there reading to children, not George.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. If we want to follow that fantasy out, and I don't think it's a fantasy that much, a little bit further, this was the cover story. George W. Bush is sitting there reading to kids. Well,
right.
The plan that he allowed to happen, the attack on this country, wended its way into the consciousness of America and the world with these attacks on this country. So I think you're onto something. And when the day of judgment comes for these people, Pat, you and I will be there to testify against them, okay?
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, Pat. Thanks for
Alrighty.
Checking in. You have a nice evening. All right, time for a break? Oh, good, another break. All right, when we come back, if you're on hold, stay. I'm going to get to you, I promise. But when we come back, first thing we're going to do is Uncle Mike's Story Corners. So those of you who are home and in the proper time zone, I hope you have your jammies on and you're all cuddled down with a glass of something. Stay with us.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
There you go, Kathy. That's more like it. Okay. 27 before the hour. All right, I got this from Democratic Underground. Let's not do the music quite yet for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Stewart wrote this, and Stewart says, "This is the real story on Iraq, right from the horse's mouth, not the corporate BS you get from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. This is the real deal from a soldier who is there. This is reality. This is the stuff our lame-ass media should be reporting. Frankly, it's sad to see how bad and lame our media is. They have sold out to the people of America. When I read this, I felt sick. I felt that way because it hit me hard how bad our media actually is today. The soldier here has to write an anonymous op-ed to a newspaper so he doesn't get in trouble in the land of the free and the home of the brave. How freaking sad is that? And how free are we when he cannot tell the truth about Iraq without getting into trouble? Land of the free? Not anymore in Bush's America." Hey, kiddies. Get around. It's time once again for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Eh? Everybody comfortable? Got your glass of dioxin or whatever you're drinking tonight? All right, tonight, excuse me, and again, this comes courtesy of Democratic Underground. The story itself was posted by Padraig. Is that how you say that, Kathy? P-A-D-R-A-I-G 18. The title is, "They're Just Going to Keep Killing Us Until We Leave." This is written by, quoted deep, heavily in here by an area GI, Coles County. It's in the Coles County Leader, a newspaper. And I don't know what state the Coles County Leader is in. He got off the plane Monday afternoon. Mosul to Kuwait to Germany to Atlanta to Dallas to Indianapolis, where he was met by his family. 2 days traveling for 15 days at home. He was still wearing a faded desert tan combat uniform and a battered pair of boots, still covered with the dust of the Iraqi desert. He asked us not to use his name, a request we have decided to honor. He slept for most of the next 2 days, getting up only long enough to eat and wander dazed around the house. He said, "They told us we wouldn't know where we were for a while. I didn't think it would affect me, but it has." There's a new wariness. He moves slowly and deliberately, uncertain of once familiar things, a refrigerator, a newspaper, his baby sister. The newspaper says three of his fellow screaming eagles were killed in Mosul the day before. Two shot dead while guarding a gas station. The third when his Humvee rolled past a roadside bomb. He will be back in Mosul by Christmas. No wonder he is wary. Even the air he breathes is unfamiliar. He says, "It's just nasty and dirty there. There's a bunch of dead animals, dead dogs, dead cows, dead donkeys on the roadsides. There's sewage in the cities and the towns. There's oil fires. Fires nonstop. There's just trash everywhere, everywhere. It's like a giant landfill. There's chickens and donkeys in the towns walking around dumping wherever they want. Stagnant water all over. All of it. It's just a bad smell that you can never escape." We load a CD that the battalion sent home with him, titled "The Road to Mosul, the Story of His Brigade's Role in Operation Iraqi Freedom." They rolled out of Kuwait last March, PSYOPs, loudspeakers, booming rock music across the desert, drowning pools, "Let the Bodies Hit the Floor," and Guns N' Roses, "Welcome to the Jungle." They rolled north, securing the city of Najaf, ancient Babylon, and shelling the headquarters of Saddam Hussein's Fedayeen. He says, "The Fedayeen would go into people's houses, tell the guys they'd kill their families if they didn't attack us. They'd come at us in waves, right at the machine guns, and we'd wax them. The thing was, we didn't get shot at much then. A little bit on the convoys, a little bit when we rolled through Baghdad." They didn't know it then, but those were the good old days. There's no rock music score to the occupation of Mosul. Nobody's making gung-ho videos. Instead, there are improvised explosive devices along the roads and steel cable strung across roads in an attempt to decapitate passing soldiers. Telephone poles are dropped to create ambush sites. The sudden pop, 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 pop of AK-47 fire. He says, "The only good thing is when we're attacked, we usually kill the guys who do it. They may eventually run out of guys to attack us, but I doubt it. It seems like for every one we kill, three or four more take his place." And there are no jubilant Iraqis welcoming these liberators. He says, "The only people who are happy to see us are the people who are getting stuff from us. The mayor's happy, but we're propping him up. The sheikhs are happy because they're getting schools. You hand people money, they're happy. But you don't know what'll happen when you turn your back. You know, the average Iraqi, he sees things getting worse. They're sick of us, and we're sick of them, because we don't know who the good guys are, and neither do they. It's killing our morale." And the rules of engagement have changed. He says, "Officially, it's don't fire unless you're fired upon. We're here to win hearts and minds. We're all a bunch of buddies." But down in the trenches, where my buddies and I are, the word is, if you're scared, kill it. If you feel threatened, kill it. If you just don't know, kill it. I'm so disgusted. I've considered going AWOL or deserting, and I'd say I'm in the majority of soldiers over there in my feelings. And you know, some of our guys are being overly aggressive. What it is now is, it's too late in the ball game. I'm going home. If I kill them by mistake, it's too bad, but I'm going home if I live. We throw candy at the kids, but they'll turn around and throw rocks at us. Little kids, teenagers, they flip us the finger or run a finger across their throats or pretend like they've got guns. And that breaks my heart because I love kids. And they've been the victims of this war more than anyone else. Does anyone in the White House even care what's going on anymore? I don't know who's going to fix it. The Iraqi police are a joke. Most of them are pretty good guys, but they don't trust each other. And they damn sure don't trust us. They need Arab soldiers to do what we're doing, but the Iraqis wouldn't trust them either. They're just going to keep killing us until we leave. ¶¶ Uncle Mike, Story Corner. That'll put you in a nice mood to snuggle down in your little beds, in your little footy pajamas, and go sleepy time. Whew. Thanks to Democratic Underground for that. Kelly had sent this in. We just had the largest economic expansion in U.S. history under the 8 years of President Clinton. Now, in just 3 short years, we have, let's call them W-villes of the homeless Americans under Bush and Republican control. Okay, they've already stole the core Republican supporters' 401k retirement. They robbed the U.S. Treasury. They burdened their children with endless debt. They cut services. They cut safety rules. They cut overtime pay. They screwed our seniors' medical benefits. What more does it take? Good working people are, again, literally being put out on the street. Hey, Joe Sixpack, who's still clinging to support Bush, you're next. Wake up. Please talk to these people. They have got to wake up. Kelly. Yeah. Now, we've been talking about that tonight. It's kind of been the theme tonight. What of the things Kelly's referring to is a report by the U.S. Conference of Mayors that was released yesterday. This is incredible. What they found was that requests for emergency food assistance rose 17% overall from last year in the survey of 25 large cities. 25 large cities. Requests for emergency shelter increased by 13%. Most of the cities expected that requests for emergency food assistance and shelter would rise again over the 2004, according to the report. Food needs for the poor grew in nearly 9 out of 10 of the surveyed cities. Denver, for example, suffered the greatest spike in demand for emergency food, with requests rising 48% this year. 48%. Food needs rose 40% in Louisville, Kentucky, 27% in Providence, Rhode Island, 25% in Charleston, South Carolina. Seattle reported a decrease in emergency food requests of 8%, the only city that did. The study said, as these needs increase, more than half of the cities are having to turn people away, hungry people. More than 14% of requests for emergency food assistance can't be filled. Think about that for a second. Oh, God. Requests for food assistance by families with children increased by 18%, and requests by elderly persons increased by 13% during the past year. This is for food. We're not talking about a new car or Ronald Reagan's apocryphal welfare queen and her Cadillac. No, we're talking about real stuff here. We're talking about old people. We're talking about families with little kids. Eh? Eh? Overall, nearly 3 out of 4 cities reported an increase in food assistance requests. Food. Food. F-O-O-D. Food. The study also found 59% of the people requesting emergency food assistance were members of families.
But I thought they were all drunks and bums and drug users.
Yeah, well, of course you thought that. 59% of the people requesting emergency food assistance were members of families. Try to keep that in the forefront of your mind. 39% of the adults requesting emergency food assistance were employed.
Oh, I thought they were all just bums.
39% of the adults requesting emergency food assistance were employed. Requests for shelter by homeless families alone. Families increased by 15%. People remain homeless an average of 5 months longer than before in most cities. Families with children comprise 40% of the homeless population. Single women, 14%. Unaccompanied youth, 5%. The U.S. Conference of Mayors surveyed 25 major cities whose mayors were members of its task force on hunger and homelessness. How could this be? The stock market is over 10,000. Oh, joy, oh, joy. I thought this all went out in the Reagan years. Well, not the Reagan years, the Clinton years. During the Reagan years is when it built up. Do you remember the stories? This is when Limbaugh, towards the end of the Reagan years, when Limbaugh used to make jokes. The pig man would make jokes about, what did he call them? Urban outdoorsmen, or people who liked sleeping on hot air vents in New York. You know, while Limbaugh is stuffing his gut with OxyContin and stepping around people lying on hot air grates in New York City, But I thought this stuff was over. We had 8 years of Clinton. We had unemployment that plunged. Abortions plunged, childhood diseases plunged, teenage pregnancies, unwed mothers plunged, crime plunged, homeownership skyrocketed, jobs went off the map. What happened? In 3 years, these pissants who now run this country have done this. Here we are. National Council of Mayors. They don't count. What the hell do they know? Well, the mayors are the closest to the population, right? They're the closest. Not the governors. Certainly not the representatives or the senators. And damn sure not Mr. Bush and his filthy cabinet. But the mayors know. See? They're out there every day. The mayor of Atlanta here, Shirley Franklin, is struggling to try to find the resources to fix Atlanta's sewer system. It's ready to explode. The city is going to be fined by the EPA for dumping raw sewage into the Chattahoochee River and polluting downstream God knows how many cities. And there's no money. But there's money for Halliburton over in Iraq. Huh? Billions and billions of dollars available. Hungry? Screw the hungry. Homeless? To hell with them. If they were good Americans, they'd find a job. It's incredible. I saw this story today. What? Yeah. I should have known. I mentioned at Thanksgiving. Remember what I said? The Feed the Hungry here, started by former civil rights activist and reverend and now deceased, Hosea Williams. 24,000 people showed up. Okay, let's say half of them are slackers. 12,000 people showed up. Couldn't eat, couldn't find food. Bush is America. Okay, just wanted to drop that in. We can drop it right back out. Jerry is calling from Sparks, Nevada. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, I heard a funny today on PBS.
Let me hear it.
A federal judge up there ruled against some environmentalists who want to enforce some EPA or endangered species laws about the killer whales. I guess the killer whales are depleted but not quite extinct yet. He said it wouldn't matter if they did die off with some other porpoises that move in and take over the territory.
Oh, that's great. That's what we're
wondering. It'd be like if all the deer died, we could just turn the Holsteins loose in the woods.
There you go.
I've heard you talk about Yucca Mountain, and you're rightfully out here in Nevada, you're in southern Nevada. There, the whole issue is they've got people talking about the wrong issue.
Hey, can I get you to hold on a second?
Sure.
All right, we got a break. As always, stick around. We'll pick it up as soon as we come back. Stay with us. Thrilled to be here in the breadbasket of America because it gives me a chance to remind our fellow citizens that we have an advantage here in America. We can feed ourselves.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Was that supposed to be a Happy Christmas promo from our company? Where were we? Oh, yes. Jerry, who has called in from Sparks, Nevada. Nevada, I'm sorry. I pronounce it like Bush, and I shouldn't. Sparks, Nevada. About the Yucca Mountain thing. Go ahead, Jerry. Let her rip.
Well, you mentioned Yucca Mountain. You rightfully point out that people missed a big issue. I think there is something to be said about national security, that you don't want to leave the nuclear waste laying around because it's easier to rob a bank than Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason the Republicans want to spend all the money is because they want to indemnify the nuclear industry from the liability for all this waste. And it's the old fascist idea that all profits go to corporations and all problems go to the public.
Absolutely.
And we've got the same boondoggle going on in Reno. They're building a train trench through town because of a lot of increased traffic that's going to happen in a couple years. And the freight companies stood up and said, well, because it's all for your benefit, you won't have to dodge all these trains that are going to be running. We'll pay part of the cost. But the whole point is that if we didn't build that right now, we'd be suing those train companies, and they'd have to cover the whole cost in a couple of years if they shut downtown. And all these trains are coming from a new port facility out west, which is just going to be like a 16-gauge needle of heroin going into our neck, all this stuff coming to Walmart.
Sure, but as you point out, Jerry, the American public, we're the ones that always take it in the neck. The people take it in the neck. The corporations are going to have their way, just like, somebody can have their way with somebody who works at the Coyote Ranch out there in Nevada?
Oh, Mustang?
Mustang. Coyote,
well, the feds closed that.
Same thing. They closed it.
Well, yeah, they sued the guy for non-payment of taxes. But there's still other places, right?
Yeah, freelancers. I hear you loud and clear, Jerry. We're flat out of time.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Thanks for checking in, pal. And for those of you who are still on hold, that sounded weird. Hey, for you folks who are still on hold, I'm sorry. We're not going to get to you tonight. Don't miss our holiday show next Tuesday, but we'll be back Monday, I hope. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by John Lucas, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall's the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday night, I hope. I really hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Thank you for listening to this classic Malloy Rewind show from December 2003. Join Mike Malloy live on Monday, 9 p.m. in the East, 6 p.m. in the West, only on the Progressive Voices Network. Always progressive, always on.